Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is that? It's not the Arsenio Hall show.
You said that. That's up here.
Tried your best.
Yeah, Brewell said he wouldn't help me. He said, quote, it's not my fault you broke your...
That's Brewell.
Be weirder if it was.
I'm facts over feels.
Okay.
Y'all know that in everything.
First things first. Today, Caleb's pro day. We're going to hear from him in a second. He sat down with Colin. Is he a lock to win Rookie of the Year? Meanwhile, Jets make another move to help Aaron Rodgers. Is there a chance New York can make it to the Super Bowl?
In the 30 and over league, they got a leg up, guys.
And finally, a special NBA edition of the best segment in all of sports. It's Knicks Tears with that LeBron layup you wanted in from
nice.
A few days ago. Good job.
Nice.
Alongside Chris Broussard, who agrees with me. I'm Kevin Wilds. Nick, any surprises on the Tears?
Two teams, unrelegated.
Really?
Yeah.
Frisky Rockets?
Frisky, yeah, as it turns out, Brew, the Rockets lose, Shingun can't
oddly,
lose.
That did cross my
mind. Yeah. Now
Shingun,
what's going on there?
Trade Shingun.
Yeah. Maybe a little too heliocentric for Shingun. You ever think of that one, buddy boy?
It's that Texas Luka inspiration. We start with Caleb's pro day. Some very impressive throws. Defense lacking, to be 100% honest.
Yeah, where is the defense?
Keenan Allen also there, so nice team chemistry already. Here's Caleb, who sat down with Colin after his pro day. Take a listen.
I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. If that was the place, I'd be excited get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, I'm caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself. Caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
Just for the record, New England also cares about football.
Don't have the number one pick.
Well, I'm just
Maybe
saying if he's looking
up.
For a place that really cares
about
football.
He didn't look overjoyed. I'm just saying.
Wow.
So I'm not saying anything.
Can
just
I just real quick before we do that, since we just got that sound?
Yeah.
I think he's trying. I'm just going to play pop psychologist for a moment. Trying to balance between the arrogance associated with assuming, I'm definitely going to Chicago, with I want to be there, while also leaving open the possibility that maybe New England or somebody else makes such a great offer the Bears move back a spot and he's not pot committed, saying this is the only place. So maybe I'm being too generous there, but that's, I think, maybe one of the things that happened there. But go ahead. Sorry. We had a question.
It's the hype around. I know we had a question.
Well, you were too busy.
You were looking for it.
Yeah,
I saw your eye. You were like,
yeah.
I lost it for a minute. Yeah. Where am I? I could tell.
It's exactly right. You were out, Caleb. Too high, too low, or just right. Chef's kiss.
Somehow, the hype's too low. And I think I can prove it to you, Brew.
All right.
Just for the context of it. He is the highest regarded prospect to come out of school since Andrew Luck. He's a higher, more highly regarded prospect than even the Prince. That is so since Luck, and obviously Mahomes is, I think, the greatest player we've ever seen. He was the 10th pick.
Right.
He went, and so as far as prospect, what was the hype surrounding Andrew Luck? Well, the Colts, without really thinking about it that much, said, Peyton Manning, get the hell out of here. 2 years removed from Peyton being league MVP and them going to a Super Bowl, they said, we are moving on because of this guy. There was real discussion about whether or not the Bears should move on from Justin Fields for weeks, postseason, up until it became very clear.
He was injured at that point.
Peyton missed 1 year, but nobody thought his career was over. You had a bunch of teams still going after him. The reason they got the number one pick was because he had missed the entire season, and he was 36.
And he turned out pretty good.
Yeah, and then he had four more years, went to two Super Bowls, won an MVP, broke all the records for passing his first or second year in Denver. Mm. So my point being, there has been for a player of this caliber walking into this situation, that the only actual critique of him is he tries to, football critique is, he might try too hard to make great plays, which lead to the sacks. And the only other critique you hear is, we think he's soft because he cried that one time because he paints his nails, which to me is nonsense, but I understand I'm not in NFL front offices. There should be more hype. It shouldn't necessarily be Wembanyama level hype, but it certainly should be. Right now, he is being hyped the same amount as last year's draft class.
No.
Or the year before. You know?
I think he's being way hyped way more than
you
that.
You do?
Yeah.
Where?
Everywhere. I mean, he's the consensus number one. There are a few, Jaden Daniels, Drake. I get
it. They're just trying to.
But, for 2 years now, he's been hyped. Like, I think it's too high. And I like Caleb. I like him better than I like Bryce Young. You guys know I was more high on C.J. Stroud, so I like him better than I like Bryce Young. I think he'll be really good. I think he's got a chance. But the hype is too high. Have we not learned that there is no guarantee at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I agree.
Just because a guy was phenomenal in college, just because he won the Heisman, means nothing in the NFL. We've seen, 27 quarterbacks since the merger, all right, in the Super Bowl era, 27 quarterbacks have been taken number one in the draft. Eight of them have lived up to it. And Terry Bradshaw, John Elway, Troy Aikman, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Matt Stafford, Cam Newton, I'm going to throw him in there, and Joe Burrow. If you want to throw Luck in, I mean, we had the injury. You know, he retired early.
I think Luck lived up to it. He just had a shortened career because of injury.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's,
okay, if you go Luck. Golf, do you go Golf?
No, Golf didn't.
Okay, so eight or nine if you go Luck out of 27. And here's the other thing.
It's fair.
The top quarterbacks ever. Mm-hmm. Only two of them, say two of the top 10, were drafted number one ever. Patrick Mahomes, you said it, 10th pick. Tom Brady, we know, sixth round. Aaron Rodgers, 24th overall. Dan Marino, 27th overall. Sixth quarterback taken in his draft. Joe Montana, last pick of the third round, fourth quarterback ever taken. Drew Brees, second round. Brett Favre, second round. Roger Staubach, 10th round. I know that's way back. But I'm just saying, the judgment, more than any other position, to predict a great quarterback in the NFL difficult.
So I actually disagree with you on that because
just gave numbers.
I'll give you the same set data point, but looked at it from a slightly different angle, which is in the last 15, from Stafford to now, there have been 7 consensus number one picks. So, Bryce was not a consensus number one. There was real debate. Sure. Baker was not a consensus.
There wasn't a ton of debate. I don't think it was a ton of debate
there
with
was
Bryce.
True. When
People
they,
loved
well,
Bryce.
Well, the reporting is when the Panthers traded up for the pick.
Well, for the Panthers,
okay, so my point is Baker went number one, but he was not the consensus number one.
Okay.
The guys that everyone knew was going number one, all of them were the best quarterbacks in their class at a minimum. No, so yes, Jameis and Goff were the best quarterbacks in their class. But I actually don't think either one of those guys was a consensus number one. There was real discussion if Mariota was going to go one. There was real discussion if Wentz was going to go one. Stafford was a consensus one. Sam Bradford, who we can say was disappointing for a number one pick, was the best in his class. Cam, Luck. Kyler was the best in his class. Joe Burrow, I believe. I know some people think Herbert's better. I disagree with them. And Trevor, for all the criticisms of Trevor, was the best in his class. The question I would have for you, Brew, is based on this same thing. It seems like you believe, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'll tell you if I'm right, that no quarterbacks should really be hyped going into the draft because you think it's such a crapshoot.
I think it should be tempered a bit.
Okay,
that's all. I think the hype is, I mean, and I'm not picking on you, but he's on the mountain. you know, during the season. And I think you weren't the only one hyping him up. People love Caleb, and fine, that's fine. I have heard some football criticism. He's not an on-time quarterback. The footwork is a bit shaky. Like, I just think it needs to be tempered because we've seen too many guys that were great in college. Trevor, the verdict's still out on Trevor. I mean, is he going to really be all that? I'm not saying he won't, but the verdict's still out.
But so go ahead, Wild.
No, go ahead.
The reason that I think I said the other day and yesterday that I think the Bears are going to win 10-plus games. And that right now is a minority opinion. That, to me, speaks to the hype being too low. Because excellent quarterbacks, when they come in, impact winning by at least two games, usually three or four. Russell Wilson, who had a great rookie year, they went up plus four wins. Andrew Luck, they went up plus nine wins. RG3, they went up plus five wins. CJ, they went up plus seven.
Trevor?
Trevor, it did not happen. You were right, and they fired the coach.
And I get it. Kyler, was a tough situation.
Kyler improved the Cardinals' record by 2.5 wins because they got a tie.
Can I ask
Baker
you a question,
by
though?
Seven wins. Like, the idea to not expect that I guess my point is, the fact that the Bears are not expected to be fighting for the playoffs means I think Caleb is being underrated. Because they were a 7-win team a year ago that we all think added talent this offseason and is getting better at quarterback. So, go ahead.
The question I would have for you is, and the reason why I think your best take is, like, the Bears didn't actually earn the number one
pick. Well, that's
not
even my take. That's just a fact.
But no one's saying
it's Carolina's pick.
Yeah, it's like if you're like,
I don't think he would take Carolina to the playoffs this year.
But here's the question. I think it's harder to get from 7 to 10 than if you were Carolina to go from, do they have one win or two wins? To go from 2 to 5.
Yeah, but so Russ took that team to the playoffs. Luck took them to the playoffs. RG3 took them to the playoffs. CJ Stroud took them to the playoffs. Baker took over a team that was 1-31 its previous 2 years, and they went 7-8-1. You know what I mean?
But it's easy to get. I think it's not that hard to get to five wins or six wins.
Right,
but I think it's hard to get from mediocre to good.
Which is why I just mentioned four quarterbacks in a row that took their teams to the playoffs as rookies. That took them from mediocre or awful to good. The Seahawks weren't awful. They were mediocre. Russ made them better. The Colts were obviously awful. Luck got them to 11 wins. The Washington was a 6-win team or a 5-win team. RG3 got them double digits. Yeah. The Texans were terrible, and it was the coach and Will Anderson. Yeah. And, you know, it was a lot that came in that took them over the top. Yeah.
Okay. Joel Klatt releases mock draft on FoxSports.com, which has six quarterbacks going in the first round. Caleb to the Bears, Drake to D.C., Jaden Daniels to the Patriots, J.J. to the Vikings, Bo to Denver, and then Penix to the Dolphins is what might be, you know, the end of Tua's reign, maybe?
No. No. Just need a backup.
So, Brew, what do you think are realistic expectations for this QB class?
Maybe one quarterback's great, two are good, you know, and then several are busts and backups.
Yeah. That would be good, by the way.
Right, that would be good.
If you're saying three quarterbacks are good plus, that would be a great class. That would be a phenomenal class.
Because I'm looking at, and I brought up the history earlier.
Yep.
Generally, there are about five or six great quarterbacks, great, like Hall of Fame caliber, in a decade. All right? And so maybe I'm arguing against what I just said. We already got several. Everybody can't be great. Like, every quarterback is not going to be great. Every team's not going to have a great quarterback. We got obviously Mahomes, Lamar, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen are great. And then you got C.J. Stroud. Looks like he's on that path. Jalen, I get it, he was down, but possibly Jalen. Justin Herbert, Dak. I mean, Tua, Purdy. Like, you can go on and on. Stafford, I didn't even mean. Like, every team, how many great quarterbacks are there going? I got Trevor written down, but you're Trevor.
Yeah.
Jordan Love. Like,
so
every team's not going to have a great quarterback.
So
it could be all of them don't pan out.
So I looked at it a little historically, but a little differently, which is what are the best classes? And so what do we know the high watermark is? So everyone points to 83. Because 83, you had Elway, Kelly, and Marino.
That worked.
But that's great. But to Brew's point, you also had Blackledge, Eason, and Ken O'Brien. I don't know, Ken O'Brien made a couple Pro Bowls. Tony Eason made a couple. One of the two of them made a couple Pro Bowls. My apologies. But you had three amazing quarterbacks in it. The worry is probably that it's more like 99, much less 2021. 99, Couch, Donovan, who was really good, Achilles Smith injuries, Dante Culpepper, who looked like he was going to be good, injuries, and then Cade McNown, nothing. And then, so 04, it's either 83 or 04 is the best quarterback classes ever. Eli, Rivers, Big Ben, with J.P. Losman as the other first rounder. And then, a sneaky one to keep your eye on is 2020. 2020. First round quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, Jordan Love. That's the most optimistic one where it's like, oh, you might have four long-term starters there. So what I think is most likely is the most realistically optimistic Wilds is two awesome quarterbacks, one more long-term starter, and then two guys that don't pan out. That's the best case. The worst case is what we just saw in 2021, where four objectively fail, and there's another one in Trevor that
most realistic is one very good or great one. That's probably, most realistic. Well,
Josh figured this out.
Oh, okay.
This has been a big mystery, and then Josh just came into
Josh did it?
Yeah, the conference room. He's like, by the way, I figured this out.
Okay. I'm
like, well, thanks, Josh. We should probably have a press conference or something. So he did, I labeled this just as like experience makes a difference. Mm-hmm. 2021 first round quarterbacks. Again, this was a little bit of COVID year, which hurt Trey Lance, obviously. Trevor is the only guy there with over 900 pass attempts. Now, maybe it's just like you had starters in front of you. Obviously, Mac was behind Tua and Jalen at one point. Trey just didn't play that whole his whole senior year. Zach played 2 years.
Zach was young.
Justin transferred and played a little bit. Now, this class, in comparison, you've got five guys.
It's too much.
Over 1,000.
But it's too
much. Bo Nix almost has 2,000 and pass
Penix
attempts.
Is too much.
Right.
And Penix has been there for a long time, too.
But it's
the experience. When guys come in there.
Kenny Pickett had experience.
Yeah, it's also the concern.
You don't know I just killed your graphic, but I'm.
You're the elder statesman.
I don't need 2,000 passes. 2,000 is too much.
2,000 is too much. And it does.
Who's the hell?
And it does make you worried, to me at least, that whatever, they're closer to a finished product than normally you would like
Bo
your
Nix
draft
is
pick
like
to be.
The same age as Jalen Hurts. He's like a year younger than Jalen
Hurts. Right. That's why I wouldn't – that Sean Payton, draft him. He'll be the next great quarterback for the Broncos. Do it. So this is why I actually look at this conversation as a Patriots conversation, a Vikings conversation, a Broncos, a Raiders conversation, because every team – other than the Bears, and I'll say Washington, because we've had a handful of classes that have had two awesome quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not that are hoping and praying for one of two outcomes. Either that this actually is going to be in the argument for greatest quarterback class ever, seems unlikely, or that one of the teams in front of them makes a mistake. They are at the mercy of that. If your plan is I am taking the third, fourth, or fifth quarterback off the board, then you are in the first round, not like, you know what I mean, not a flyer late round, then the only way, there's only two ways for that to work out for you. Way one, you happen to do that in what will go down as one of, if not the greatest quarterback class ever, or the team in one or two of the teams in front of you picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You are not really in control of your destiny in that regard.
But when we look at the history, it's worked out a lot where a guy that was picked late, as I said earlier, becomes a great quarterback. And it may not, let's say Caleb doesn't pan out. It's not a mistake if Chicago takes him. It's just, guy came out of nowhere and in the fourth round and was great.
But I'm not talking. Listen.
Like a lot of people are throwing out, and I'm not saying I am, but Spencer Rattler. A lot of people are starting to say, I love
him. Sure, and I don't mind taking, you know what I mean, throwing a dart, so to speak, on a mid-round pick. But even on your list, a lot of those guys who their actual draft number sounds late, they were one of the first two quarterbacks off the board. Mahomes drafted 10th. but he was the second quarterback taken. Right. Rodgers was drafted 24th, you said. He was the second quarterback taken. Like, so it's not just that guys slip. It's that teams that wanted a quarterback that had the pick in front of you misevaluated it. Yeah. That's what would make me nervous.
I'm nervous, Brew, of like for the Patriots if Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board. He's obviously going to be great. Right. I think everyone is – it's can't miss. You rarely see someone's like, well, he, you
I don't know. A lot of people are now saying the Neighbors is going to go ahead of him.
Which content
is,
farming.
I think it's overthinking season.
Content farming.
Go ahead.
It's a little bit like going out to eat when you're like absolutely starving.
And ordering the ravioli?
No, the order. But it's like the Patriots are starving for a quarterback. Like, this is it. What a good coincidence. We got our guy and we really needed our guy. Like, it's versus we're like, well, Lamar went super late. Well, the Ravens didn't necessarily need Lamar. The Chiefs, I know they loved Mahomes, they didn't need Lamar.
They weren't desperate.
Yeah, we are desperate. We literally, shout out to Bailey Zappi, but we don't really have a QB1, and we want a QB1, so now we're like, we're taking him, whether or not Marvin Harrison is the guaranteed best player in the
draft.
But
here's the thing, if you get Harrison, and you got nobody to really get him the ball, how much is that going to help?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Niners made a Super Bowl with it. You know what I mean? They built an all-star team and just believed they could plug in a quarterback.
Well, Marvin Harrison by himself is not an all-star
team. No, I understand.
And Brock Purdy is on time. Like, he's a great on-time passer.
So
he's smart.
I think it would be categorically the wrong decision for the Patriots to stay at 3 and not take a quarterback. If they are not going to take a quarterback, I think it is mandatory that you take advantage of the fact that another team would, and you recoup surplus draft capital for that. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's – I think you can make the argument that the Patriots should move back. I think you can make the argument, obviously, the Patriots should take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You can make the argument that the Patriots should stand pat in a draft where people think quarterbacks might go 1, 2, 3, 4, and not take a quarterback.
In 365 days, we're going to be here and be like, oh, generational quarterback. We haven't seen a quarterback like this guy since I was a little boy.
And I know it's not every year that's an overstatement because, 2022, Malik Willis, Bailey's out. That wasn't a huge picket. They didn't overstate those guys' greatness in the draft. But generally speaking, almost every year, it feels like we're hyping all these quarterbacks.
And
only Art one Manning. Or two is going to pan out.
So I think we are talking a lot about them. I do feel like the conversation surrounding last year's class was different than this conversation. As far as at the very top, I don't think. Even though I think Caleb,
you think Bryce got more hype than Caleb?
No. The other way. I think Caleb.
That almost hurts your take because CJ's probably better than all these guys.
Right, because I think last year it was not a consensus opinion who the best player in that class was. This year it is. This year everyone knows it's Caleb. Last year there was real debate among smart people. Brew was one of them saying, I would take this guy number 1. I said, Anthony Richardson seems like the biggest, strongest, fastest guy. I'd take on him. And we'll see.
You think
that's not the case.
If the Texans called the Bears right now and say, hey, you want to trade?
No way.
CJ, that's what I'm saying.
No way.
Who says
you
no?
Wouldn't do that. If you were running the Texans, would you give up CJ for the number 1 pick?
I think both teams would say no. I think both teams would say no. I think both teams would say, no, we're good. Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next.
Oh, Chicago.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's an interesting point you made.
What?
That both teams would say no. I'm not sure.
That's it was actually wild. It's
not answer.
It's not a non-answer.
Non-answer.
It's an accurate answer.
Next on FS1, the Fox Sports Show and SiriusXM.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number 1 cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Jets got Aaron Rodgers another weapon, signing former Charger Mike Williams to a one-year deal. Here's Williams on his new team. Take a listen.
Aaron, I want to be able to, you know, play with him, pick his brain, learn from him, playing alongside Garrett, kind of remind me of Keenan a little bit, similar style play, great route runners. And I feel like we can complement each other in that area. The running game is pretty good. Defense is elite. So I just feel like we got a pretty good opportunity ahead of us. Just looking forward to it.
Okay. Mike's last 3 years, 2021 and 2022, very productive. And then, of course, last year cut short with a knee injury in week 3. Brew, is Rodgers poised for a huge season?
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm not predicting. We had on the at the start of the show, are they make a Super Bowl run? No. Rodgers in his prime after he won his first Super Bowl with great teams, great records in the regular season. He was awesome. He played at MVP level. Never got to another Super Bowl. And you guys know I talked about his performances in the conference championship games, which were bad a lot of times. So I don't think Super Bowl run. What I will say is this about the Jets. I like their offseason. This is like we're going for it this year. Our quarterback is 40. All right? We signed Tyron Smith, who we know is great when he plays, to a one-year deal. Mike Williams, to a one-year deal. You know, Morgan Moses has 1 year left on his deal. They got John Simpson, who's the youngest offensive lineman they signed, for 2 years. So they're saying, this is it. Yeah. We got 1 year maybe of Rodgers being great. Let's go for it. So I'm with that. You're the Jets, all right? What do you have to lose? So I'm fine with that. If they stay healthy, this is my statement.
Okay.
This is on Aaron Rodgers. If these guys are healthy, if your offensive line is solid, which it looks like on paper, you got Garrett Wilson. Mike Williams, I don't want to say great. The dude is very, very, very good when healthy. Mm-hmm. Breece Hall, I like. The defense is very good. Like, if they're healthy, then this is on Aaron Rodgers. They should be able to get to the playoffs if Aaron Rodgers is still close. I'm not even asking for MVP for him. Close. And I don't think he will be. But I'm just saying, we'll point to him as, oh, man, you had a squad and you were washed.
So I don't know that they have a squad. They have a very old team in a league that does not ever work in. So their biggest offseason acquisitions, let's show them, because we have both tackles and the wide receiver. They are 33. That is old, Brew. That is old in the NFL. Missed the last 2 years. Morgan Moses is the healthiest of them. The other, Tyron Smith and Mike Williams, has missed a season's worth of games in the last 2 seasons. They have been, by definition, halftime players. And they are
there's no doubt Bruce, the health is here.
Right, but that is, if I were a Jets fan, I'd be livid.
Really?
Because I,
you're
let me tell you what.
Okay, go ahead.
They had a potentially historic 2022 draft. Now, they had the extra pick from trading, great trade. Maybe the best move Joe Douglas ever made was the Jamal Adams trade, getting 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams. So you had an extra first-round pick. You then traded back into the first round. You had 4 picks in the top 36. You walked away with Sauce Gardner, the second-best corner in his class. Shout out Trent McDuffie. Garrett Wilson.
Great.
Very good.
Jermaine Johnson, who made a Pro Bowl, is maybe an underrated but really good player. And Breece Hall, who's a really good running back. He blew out his knee, but we'll see. You had an opportunity in that moment to say, we are taking – when you crush a draft like this, you take a long view. And we tried to build a juggernaut. Instead – They gave the reins to a literal and figurative madman and have just now operated as if the way teams operated, Brew, the way you described it, like prime LeBron in the last year of his contract.
That's right.
Oh, my God. We got to make sure we maximize now. We have the best player in the world, and he could leave. You have a 40-something-year-old coming off a torn Achilles, and you are at the expense of being able to take advantage of these guys' primes together. You are building a team that doesn't make sense. But you are building injured team.
Look, when Rodgers, that summer, when Rodgers was available, remember, I was saying, go get Lamar.
Yes, of course.
Go get Lamar. Yes. So that would have fit more
Lamar
what you're saying.
Lamar is better than Aaron Rodgers.
Right. But my point is, now that you have Rodgers, they made that mistake, and they got Aaron Rodgers. The smart thing is to go for it. He's playing this year. So yeah. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. But right? Like, what are you supposed to do?
And I don't think it is, even if you are going for it, I think that the Jets deciding to consistently press the button of high upside, old injury prone for all the moves. It's not.
They're one-year deals.
Right,
they're one-year deals because no one's going to give them 2 years.
Right,
but also because if they get hurt or don't play well, you get rid of them.
No, of course. But then my point at that point,
and your quarterback might be gone too, so you're starting over anyway.
Right. The point that I am making is it is so much like the Jets offseason, Wilds, to me, and this is going to, the audience will relate to this more than that side of the table. I apologize, but it reminds me of how, as a younger, more impulsive man, I ran my Madden franchise. Oh, my God. That guy's an 86 overall. I know he's 35 years old, but I think, you know what? The upside's there. Wait. Oh, that guy's cheap, but he was retired for a year in real life. Let me add him. The Jets consistently pressing the same button this offseason instead of stability. You know what? We are not going to sign the future Hall of Famer left tackle who's only available because he's old and injured. Sure. Instead, we are going to take a C-plus player who's never missed a game due to injury. You don't think that would make sense, bro?
Think you've got a 40-year-old quarterback might only play one more year. Go for it.
But, bro, doesn't going for it mean...
They didn't get Tyron Smith 4 years.
No, but you're misunderstanding me. Doesn't going for it, can't that also mean adding players that are least likely to be hurt this season? Isn't going for it making your offseason not about getting the receiver who was available because he has missed 17 games the last 2 years? That's why Mike Williams is available. And Tyron Smith, who's available because he's missed 18 games the last 2 years. That's why he's available.
I'm baffled by your take because – yes, they've been injured, but they signed one-year deals. They didn't give them long-term deals.
But for this year, they're more likely to be injured. This could be Aaron Rodgers' last year with the team.
Just because their history? If that's the answer, fine. Well,
old injured players, yes.
They're 33. That's not ancient.
Okay.
It's not.
I bet you that is in
the... How old is Trent Williams for the Niners?
No, he's older. And he's
okay.
But he doesn't have an injury history. Mm. 33 years old makes you in the top 10% for age, even on the offensive line.
They got no choice but to try to go as far as they can this year. Because who knows? Aaron Rodgers might not even be any good this year.
No, he won't be. He's not going to be good. Quickly, odds to win the AFC East. Bills at 1, Dolphins right on their heels. Jets plus 260, not far behind in the frisky Patriots that no one believes in, coming in at 4th. Are the Jets a threat to win the division, bro?
Look, the Bills haven't had a great offseason. Miami, kind of so-so.
Miami's bad offseason. Lose Christian Wilkins.
Right. Yeah. It's all like kind of like my thesis in the first segment or part of this discussion. What's Aaron Rodgers? What is he? Is he the guy we saw in Green Bay that last year who they got better without him? I know he won't be the guy of the season before where he won the MVP, but can he be 85 to 90% of that guy? I mean, it's not out of the question.
He's not good. Aaron Rodgers is no longer good.
They were saying that, and I get it, he was younger, but they were saying that before he won his two MVPs again, too.
The hottest take is not that Aaron Rodgers is controversial, and it's not that Aaron Rodgers is the shadow GM. The hottest take is that, you know what? The Packers got right what the Patriots got wrong. Where it's like we saw our franchise guy in decline, and we decided to cut bait. and he went somewhere else, and now the Patriots got it 100% wrong, and it's hurt Bill Belichick's legacy. We thought Brian Gutekunst was doing the wrong thing, and turns out Jordan Love's great. Jordan Love's winning playoff games, and Aaron Rodgers immediately got hurt, and now he's going to try to come back with a bunch of other baggage that he's bringing along, distractions to the team. So, no, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a threat to win the division. I don't think he's going to play better than Josh Allen.
I
obviously agree with all that, and the reason, because I do think our last discussion applies to this one. I understand Brew's point that they're 1 year deals, that you are not wrecking the team's flexibility in the future. My point is, their biggest weakness last year was their offensive line. Mm-hmm. Why was it a weakness? Because the aging veteran they brought in with an injury history, Dwayne Brown, got hurt. And the other guy who wasn't even old.
He was way older than even Smith.
And Mekhi Becton, who was way younger, who had an injury history, was not good enough and was not able to stay healthy the whole time. It is baffling to me that even if the NFL said, we cease to exist after this season, that the Jets would risk the entirety on it on injury-prone players.
Don't you also think Douglas and Saleh, this is it? It's like, look, we got to win now. I get it. You just think those guys are definitely getting hurt.
No, it's not that I think they're definitely getting hurt. I just think it is.
It's a risk.
I think that they are. Every player is at injury risk. Some players are at greater injury risk. But you're exactly right, Brew. That's why I said at the beginning, if I were a Jets fan, I'd be livid. I feel like Douglas and Saleh, in service of their own job security and Aaron Rodgers' ego, have taken what could have been an excellent young core and are just wasting years of it. And I think that's a massive mistake.
Okay. Coming up next, Cowboys running it back. Next on First Things First.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check in on the Cowboys. There's an old saying, if you're not moving ahead, you're falling behind. The Cowboys haven't done much this offseason because they're more focused on keeping who they have. Here's Stephen Jones from last week. It's a great thing having the Micah CD and the Dak challenge ahead of us in terms of getting them under the cap. And we're all in. There's all in again on getting that done. Again, that's from last week.
Yeah.
I didn't make that up. Your reaction.
I mean, I think it's weird because it's the Cowboys, but this is how smart teams are run. You draft well and you keep your homegrown star players. And you don't splurge in free agency because usually that is paying at the top of the market, and also because you don't have the money because you are paying your homegrown players. The Cowboys, Brew, are a very, very well-run business whose top two – no, franchise. I'm just trying to use an analogy. Whose top two employees choke in the biggest moments and whose – you know, as a carnival barker doing their commercials. But the way the Cowboys actually run the team is smart. They don't have a lot of bad contracts. They draft really well. It was good for them to say, you know what? We are not going to pay top dollar to keep Tony Pollard, and we're not going to go out there and try to sign an expensive running back. We're going to spend our time making sure CeeDee and Micah, two of our first-round picks who have unquestionably hit, stay here. I get all of that. None of that changes the fact that Dak and McCarthy have terrible postseason resumes and that you believe correctly Jerry causes distractions. But this type of stuff, I do not think they should be criticized for. Huh? I think this is good business and smart football.
Well, at first I thought maybe they don't know the meaning of all in, right? I mean, Jerry's, we're all in.
Yeah.
Steven, we're all in. But now after listening to some of the commentary that's out there, seeing some of the reports, maybe it was a little misdirection. Maybe all in means just like the Jets, we're going for it. I heard Schefter today talking about they might be going for like the 1 year, you know, Dak's on 1 year, Mike McCarthy's on 1 year, Mike Zimmer, who they just hired, 1 year deal as a defensive coordinator, right? That they're going for it this year and gonna see. Well, Dak, I think he's gonna get signed.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you what Adam Schefter said. Dak, let's see what you do. And maybe they'd be willing to move on if he can't get it done this year.
Wow.
I mean, I think they're going to sign all three of them. I think you do, too. But I'm just saying, I'm surprised by this commentary out there that they might just be playing this year. Go for it. McCarthy could be gone. Dak could be gone if it doesn't work out.
So I with respect.
You've heard that, too, right?
Yeah, I've heard it. I think it's what is called public negotiation. I think Dak's agent, Todd France, is operating from the place of, you have to re-sign my guy because the Cowboys have to re-sign his guy and because the Cowboys are going to re-sign his guy. And that is a terrible negotiating place for the Cowboys to be in. So they are floating out there to people with big platforms. Oh, we might just let him play this year and see what happens to try to soften the negotiating stance.
I agree with you on that.
I am with near 100% confidence that Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence are both signing new deals before next season begins. Whether people think it's smart business or not, both of those things are happening.
The thing with Trevor is that even if he's not this superstar we thought he'd be,
he's still.
Yeah, and it's cheaper now.
Yeah.
He's still a good, probably a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper to do it now than doing it next year.
Sure. And you have that half a playoff game to really bank.
They're not likely
to
move.
How many playoff games did Herbert have when he got his monster deal?
You think that was a great move? They had to fire their coach.
They got Harbaugh now. Yeah, it was a great move.
Coming up next, greatest segment in all of NBA. It's Knicks tears. Look at Tatum there. Afternoon headline sponsored
different
by Graham Brock.
Different guys from yesterday.
Well, yeah, one's the pyramid, one's King of the Hill, one's tears.
Built to serve.
I'm even in the mouth.
Friend of the show, Andrew Filippone, noting that the Steelers have looked into trading for Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk himself tweeting to Mike Tomlin, who so far has not responded. Brew, we'll start with you. How much would Ayuk help Russ?
First of all, they do look very similar.
Also,
look at their faces.
Second of all, this is Ayuk's first tweet in 11 months. So that's why it's a little noteworthy.
But also, I went to Mike Tomlin's Twitter to see what his replies were. He does tweet nice things, but I don't think he's doing negotiating. X.
I mean, you guys know I've been saying it since they got Russ. I already like their skilled players. George Pickens, I get he's probably underachieved a little bit, but incredible talent.
Yep.
Freiermuth, nice tight end. Two good running backs. Great defense. You add Ayuk, and it's like Aaron Rodgers. It's like, and I'm not saying they're going to be injured like the Jets might be, but it's like, it's on you, man. You got enough help. If you can't get it done, and it done is make the playoffs, maybe make a little bit of a run. If you can't get it done with these guys, then you're washed. And so Ayuk would be phenomenal for them.
Listen, Ayuk would really be helpful for their eventual starter, Justin Fields. Russ, you know, Ayuk does all his work over the middle of the field. Russ doesn't throw in the middle of the field because he's small and can't see the middle of the field. And even when he was great, he didn't throw over the middle of the field. And so I think this obviously would help Pittsburgh a ton. But you know what else this signals? This is the beginning of some tough decisions in San Francisco. They don't.
I should have known.
Well, it's just the facts.
I should have known.
Does everyone at this table think Brandon Ayuk's really, really good?
He's excellent.
Yeah, he's their first round pick. So why is this a discussion? So we know why T. Higgins is being franchised. Because the Bengals paid Joe Burrow all that money and because the Bengals is going to pay Ja'Marr Chase all that money. We know why Snead is franchised. Because the Chiefs paid Mahomes all that money and the Chiefs paid Chris Jones all that money. But the Niners quarterback doesn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they not be paying Ayuk? Because they have the highest paid running back, tight end, fullback, left tackle, defensive end, and in addition to that, they gave Debo $25 million a year, Hargrave 4 years for $80 million. Oh, and the highest paid middle linebacker, at least when he signed his deal, in Fred Warner. And Brew would tell you that they desperately need help on the offensive line because Pro Football Focus didn't like it. And I would tell you that they do need money for Hufanga, who is, I think, maybe the best safety in the league who blew his ACL last year. So this is now, all of a sudden, the Niners are entering their going to have to, you know, cut Eric Armstead, which they did. Going to have to make maybe a business decision on Brandon Ayuk. And I'm, despite the fact that their quarterback makes $900,000. And if they were to trade Ayuk, I'm very curious how that impacts Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I'll give you, we
might know. I mean, we have a little bit of evidence.
Yeah, so you don't think
Brandon Ayuk missed one game last year. How did they do?
I'm sure Brock
They won 30-12 against the Giants, who were, you know.
Who were what? What do I know? Tell
they
me
got Dable, who's a good coach.
Coach of the year.
Brock Purdy without Brandon Ayuk, y'all. I know Nick thinks he was horrible.
No, I don't.
Four interceptions or something. No,
I don't.
25 for 37, 310 yards, two touchdowns, passer rating 111.3.
So you don't think.
I'm not trying to make Juwan Jennings out to be some superstar, obviously
he
play
good,
well
though.
In the Super Bowl. Right. I think they think he can step up, and it is a deep receiver draft, and we'll go get one of these receivers that's not making a lot of money.
Of course.
And we still got Debo and Kittle that you have to worry about, not to mention McCaffrey.
I don't think it would be a bad move. The point I am making is the Niners, they have had a ridiculously loaded team over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have come as close as any team can come to getting over the hump without getting there. I think that as far as just raw talent on the roster, last year and the year before are going to be far more talent on the roster than they have this coming year or the year after. And that wasn't enough then. And then there will, of course, be the question of, well, if Brock Purdy's the guy Bruce says he is, he very soon is going to go from $1 million a year to $50 million a year. And so
they got him one more year?
They've got him this year and then technically two more years, but he would get his extension after this coming year. So I think it is very noteworthy that this is on the board, that the Niners have not locked up Brandon Ayuk, and they haven't done it because they have too many expensive players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's flatly the reason. They have too many expensive guys.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. Brock's going to get much better.
He'll get better.
Yeah. So that's still in that age. Is he going to get much better
next year?
By definition, he's got to
be. Nah, because years aren't measured just by.
Live from New York, it's the show that has a hurt hamstring. Giannis and Tatum. It's the second hour of First Things First. What?
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Today, why Caleb is a can't-miss prospect that should, according to Nick, take the Bears to the playoffs in year one. He has pro day today. Meanwhile, if you can't beat him, sign him. Sean McVay signs Jimmy G. Well, get this, Brew. I threw in a factoid in the tease. 8-0 against the Rams in his career.
Are there more W's
in the future?
I just think Sean McVay knows football
of
and
course.
Quarterbacks.
I totally agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Totally agree. Wolford could play.
Okay.
He was going to start a game. But right now it's time for a segment that you won't find in any periodical next to a breakfast buffet in your local Marriott. Last night while talking to professional gamblers about diamond rings, a select group of statisticians, former rivals, and people who don't text with Michael Jordan fought and toiled and burned the midnight oil to deliver the best segment in all of basketball television. It's an honor and a privilege. It's time for Nick's Tears.
See, Wilds, this is why I can't have private conversations with you. They make it onto the show far too long.
But if you just were stone-faced,
it'd
just be like, oh, Wilds,
the audience is onto it. All right, you guys know how it works. Much like NFL Tears, we have a committee. Different than NFL Tears, we have different levels to being off the tiers, different levels of relegation. So let's show you who is off the tiers. Regular relegation, sub-relegation, and then contraction, meaning those two teams should cease to exist at least for the rest of the year. In fact, I think they should play a best of seven at the end of the year. The winner of it gets the number one pick. The other team doesn't get a draft pick. How about that? Take that. Take your medicine there.
Wow.
Washington, Detroit. All right. Bottom of the tiers, unrelegated Chicago and Houston. Yes. Shout out to them. Still relevant. Houston, Brew, turns out all it took was them to get Şengün out of line. Now they
going
can't lose.
It's something strange.
The Bulls
firing them.
This is respect to DeMar DeRozan, who's having an underrated, really solid season. And then there's Indy, which is in a weird spot, if you ask me. 14-14 in the last 28. And so they've just been fine ever since it was like, oh, how dangerous they are. A lot of that's due, I think, with Halliburton not being 100%. All right, next. Deserve more respect. I can already see it. These are going to be the teams at the end of the year. Shows like ours, people are going to be looking at the standings and be like, actually, if I'm Oklahoma City, I want to lose tonight. So yeah. I'm lined up with the Kings in round one versus potentially the winner of the play-in. So these two teams, particularly New Orleans, deserves to be discussed in a higher regard, but the committee and the national media doesn't take them seriously as even second-round playoff contenders. Next, party crashers. In the Eastern Conference, everyone wants to see Boston-Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. People are prepared for Miami or maybe Philly to spoil that to a degree. Nobody is prepared for one of these three teams to. But they're 3-4-5 right now in the East. Orlando won't go away. New York's doing it despite the injuries. Cleveland's doing it despite Donovan, you know, being in and out of the lineup and being injured. So they are trying to crash the round two and maybe even round three party. History matters. I know in sports commentary and politics it seems not to, but I promise it does. The Sixers and Clippers. They're going to be, if Embiid comes back, and already with the Clippers, I can see the twinkle in Brew's eye. People are going to want to believe in that. But when I say history matters, I mean the recent history of James Harden in the playoffs, of the Sixers with Embiid in the playoffs, or the longer-term history of, I don't know, just pull a number out of the air. The last 40 years, these two franchises have played in two combined conference finals in the last 40 years. Their rivals, by the way, the Lakers and the Celtics, have played in 27. And so the idea that either one of these teams are going to go on a deep playoff run, history says they won't. Next, scarier than their record. Listen, relax, hipster NBA fans. I get it. Why do you spend so much time talking about these? Luka, LeBron, Durant, Steph. That's why. The reason why these four play-in teams that right now, at best, two will even actually make the real postseason, they get so much discussion is because they have four of the 10 best players in the league. All of them, except for the Warriors, have an awesome second option to go along with those guys. And they, honest to God, just seem scarier in a playoff series than every team beneath them, despite the fact that literally at least half of them will not even make the actual postseason if the current bracket holds. Next. The committee can't quit them. Listen, I get the skepticism.
Yeah.
I understand there is not a lot of hard data from this season to point to. What I will tell you is this. This Miami Heat team is on pace for 44 wins, which is, When they made the finals in 2020, you know how many games they won? 44. When they made the finals last year, you know how many games they won? 44. This Heat team, maybe 44 is a special number for Syracuse football and for the Miami Heat. I don't know. But I know when you have playoff Jimmy, when you have Eric Spoelstra, the committee's going to believe in you. Trying to skip steps. And this is not a knock on them. It's just reality. Oklahoma City and Minnesota are both trying to skip what has been the traditional progression of all these young teams throughout NBA history, which is you finally have the great regular season and you get knocked out early in the playoffs, and the next year you're a real contender. Oklahoma City and Minnesota are saying, no, we're real contenders right now. We're going to compact the timeline here. They both have a superstar young North American player. I'm claiming Shea. Canada, that you're an American player. Let's be honest here. He's not a European player. He's one of ours. Anthony Edwards, they have a kind of a smartly built team, 1-7 for both of them. They just don't have the experience. King of the Hill. If this is our NBA Finals, Adam Silver might as well hang the Best Player Alive championship belt above the middle of the court. Because I understand everyone says it's Jokic and it's not just Brew every time the champion, the best player in the champion, but if it's two guys that both have two MVPs, both have one finals MVP, and then they play and they're around the same age, they play each other in the finals, and we think the teams are pretty evenly matched, that would seem fair. And then at the top of the tiers, now or never. Feels a little Ravens-y.
Wow.
I think they were the top of the tiers last time as well. Which the Boston Celtics. If they can't break through this season with this point differential and this record and this health and this starting lineup, there will be even more growing questions about whether or not if your top two is Tatum and Brown, you are built for a championship. We know you're built for deep postseason runs. We know you're built for great regular seasons. So I do feel like it's a bit now or never for the Boston Celtics. Brew?
Well done for the most part. But I'm going to the Heat. The Heat are too high. All right, I think I got a
Yeah.
A crafty. Yeah. The heat or cold is ice.
I get it.
All right, you get that?
Yeah, I got it.
Little play of words. All right, Nick, I get heat culture. I get playoff Jimmy. Yeah. Eric Spoelstra, obviously a great coach. But I am so glad I beat the buzzer on the Heat. Last week, we made our picks.
This guy.
And I beat the buzzer.
What you mean
I
when
checked
you picked
with
Celtics
Hubs.
Heat?
At first, I had Celtics beating the Heat in the conference finals. I checked with Hubs and Kedda. I was like, I'm feeling funny about the Heat. I want to change it to the Bucks. They said, just in time, bro, okay. You can change it. So I got the Bucks getting beat by the Celtics in the Eastern Conference finals. I'm off the Heat, Nick. They lost seven. I get it. The 44 games, yes. They're the eighth seed. They were the eighth seed last year when they went to the finals, all right? They've lost seven straight games, though, in January. Not a good look. They've lost five of their last seven. Not a good look. Oh, and they're 14-22 against winning teams this season. Take a look at this.
Uh-oh.
Look at that closely. The years they've gotten deep into the playoffs, they played well against winning teams. Even last year, they were 500 against winning teams. Go to the finals. Then 28-22 the year before that.
The first round.
The one year they were 14-22 as they are now, they lost in the first round. So
I
think that says something. Max, I get it, they got Terry Rozier, who I like a lot, but Max Strus was a big part of that run. He's gone. Gabe Vincent, I know he's not great for the Lakers, but was a big part of that run. He is gone. All right, and so I think the Heat are too high. I would actually put them below, if I can see the tiers again quickly.
Yeah.
I would put them below
Philadelphia or below the party
crashers. I would put them with the party crash.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Because that's what they are, like the Knicks.
No, I understand. So here's my problem with that. If we can just show, and I've shown you this graph before, I'll show it to you again. The best three teams in the East the last 5 years. The Heat have always been the worst regular season team and have been the most consistent postseason team. And so it's just very hard when they have the same. It's not like the core has changed significantly. It's still Spo, Jimmy, and Bam. It's hard for me to panic too much. Again,
Lowry was a big part, too.
Last year, Lowry, not so much. Lowry was not very good last year.
But he's right. He's got the medal. He's part of those.
Well, I like the Sixers, by the way.
All right. I just want to dig in on the Celtics. Obviously, I still think the Nuggets should be ahead of them, even though they did. Well, they won, but they did take a loss against on a miracle shot. So, three stats on the Celtics. First, this season. Turns out they're just absolutely excellent. First offensive rating, rebounds, they're first. Three-point percentage, they're second. And their defense rating, second, while they're holding their opponents to only 35% shooting from three. And now, this is a little glass half full, glass half empty. You want to be a pessimist, like some people on the staff, let's say. You'll say, you know what? Tatum has kind of fallen off. Well, why don't you just be glass half full and be like, you know what? Jaylen Brown's playing great. He's elevated his game post All-Star. Maybe Tatum has taken a step back.
And those numbers are still pretty good.
They're still excellent, but they're not kind of MVP-ish, which he wanted to gun for. So I wanted to bring in LeBron in his podcast with JJ, talked about Tatum and maybe his inexperience / criticism. Take a listen.
He's 25 years old, and I believe he's been to the conference finals four times. Been to obviously the NBA finals once. He's 25. I didn't win my first one until I was 28. I think Joker won his first one at 27. I think MJ was 28 as well.
Kobe without Shaq was around
the same age. Yeah, so,
Steph
you know, I think we have a, you know, we have a lot of expectations on JT, but he's experienced a lot of winning.
That's a good boy.
It's not a good point, Kobe, without Shaq. He already had
three.
Yeah, but he had to do it. He wanted
well,
to prove he could win
was
it Kobe's without Shaq.
He won when he was 21. Go ahead, 22 in any event. Quick correction. We don't know exactly when that pod was taped, but Tatum just turned 26.
Yeah.
One correction about LeBron. He was not 28. He was actually 27.
LeBron always selling himself short, man. He's just like
Jordan
he said,
was 27. You sure Steph was 27? I thought he was 26.
take it up to Josh.
Josh, are you sure?
Check it.
I think Giannis was 26. I think he's right that Steph was 27, but we can check. But go ahead.
We don't need to check.
Go ahead.
It's been checked, and it's on the graphic.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got you, Josh. Thank you. That's a question, Drew. Do you buy that
Tatum might be too young to win.
I think what LeBron said is right on the money. I agree with that. Like, you saw that the legends are 27 and 28 years old, 26 with Giannis, before they win a championship. The guys that won it younger, Kobe, Kareem, Magic, yeah, they had superstars around them when they went there. Bird. They had Hall of Fame players. Who did?
Well, no, Kareem was the driving force.
But he had Oscar Robertson.
Yes, yeah, I mean, older Oscar. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but he was still really good. Yeah. And so, and half the best players in the world were in the ABA when Kareem won it. So, I think this is right on the money. Check this out. In his 6 years in the league, this is his seventh, he has been to the conference finals, as LeBron said, four times. And people jump on him. I'm not saying he's as good as LeBron, but people jump on him because of how he played in those finals. Let's look at how he played in the finals, though, compared to LeBron. His numbers, this is LeBron's first two finals. And Tatum's numbers are right there with LeBron, arguably better. LeBron's first finals against San Antonio, he shot 35% from the field, and he averaged 5.5 turnovers a game. All right, so we know LeBron's first two finals, he was bad. All right, or, you know, far below his ability. And so I'm not saying Tatum's in that class, but this is par for the course, though. Because Jordan, as much as everybody loves him now, and they loved him then, but he still did get criticized until he won. Oh, he can put up numbers, he can sell shoes. He's not Magic or Larry, though, because he doesn't win. LeBron obviously got criticized. Jokic got criticized. Like, this is what happens when we put you on a certain level. Until you win, you get criticized. It's like the old school coaches that said, when I stop yelling at you, that's when you should worry. When I'm yelling at you, it means I believe in you. When we're criticizing you, Jason, it means we believe you're capable of winning it.
Right.
Worry when we stop criticizing you and say, oh, he's got to win a ring. Oh, he's got to win a ring. Because then we don't think you're capable.
That's why I don't criticize Tatum that much.
Oh.
You just don't believe in him?
He's never going to win a ring as the number one guy?
Hard. I think it's going to be hard to win a ring with him as your best player.
Okay.
I think he's the sixth or seventh best player in the league. I think that's hard. It's not impossible. It's hard.
Caleb's pro day today. Had some solid passes. Afterwards, he sat down with Colin Cowherd, who asked him about Chicago. Take a listen.
I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the, you know, biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. You know, if that was the place, I'd be excited get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself, caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
Okay, so the official question we agreed upon was, what are the chances that Caleb isn't the best quarterback in the class?
0%.
And then we all thought 0%, so I changed the question.
I don't think zero.
What do you think?
15.
Okay.
20%. 20%.
I just don't think that's really fodder, so
yeah,
I changed the question.
So
the difference between 0% and 20% is nothing?
He's saying you think it's overwhelmingly likely he's the best quarterback in the draft.
This will be more interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think Caleb will be an all-time great number one pick quarterbacks? And I'm going to run through some guys,
yeah,
and you tell me if you think Caleb was destined to be better than these guys.
Okay, sure. Love
Rue,
this.
Feel free to interrupt.
Yeah,
I think you're going to disagree quickly.
Uh-huh.
Bake Show.
Yes, Caleb. Yes means Caleb will be better.
Yes.
Yes.
Drew Bledsoe.
Yes.
Kyler.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Michael Vick.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
Cam Newton.
Yes.
Cam Newton won MVP, went 15-1.
Got
the
it.
Super Bowl.
He's
better than Cam Newton.
Cam's career was shortened.
Yeah, and Cam's combined career MVP, because quarterbacks, we kind of do Super Bowls, MVPs.
Right.
Cam's combined career, Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl wins, and MVPs is at 2, right? 1 Super Bowl appearance, 0 wins, 1 MVP. All set. Caleb will do more than that.
Eli Manning.
Yes.
Joe Burrow.
I think yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're really playing.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman.
That's a tough one. Troy.
He may be better individually.
Yeah, I mean, Troy is a legend. I think Troy, the quarterback, I think Troy is a better leader. and corraler of a wild team to be, you know what I mean, the leader of, than necessarily pure quarterback. So I, Troy, to me, when I do that quarterback pyramid, I think I have Troy like somewhere in the 15 to 20
you.
Range.
I told you we were getting to go the Wembanyama,
Olajuwon
thing.
He has to, he has to admit QB.
Terry Bradshaw.
No.
Okay, this is where you're out. John Elway.
No.
And Peyton Manning.
No.
So you're between Brad. So Caleb is going to slot in
between
Terry Bradshaw and Troy Aikman.
Yeah,
it's a bold.
You brought it up. You are right.
What?
He's where I think I was on firmer footing than you.
What do you mean?
When I said Wembanyama.
Uh huh.
It will be better than Akeem Olajuwon.
Oh, now that's what you said. You used to be misquoted when it said. America, bro, you used to get mad.
I thought it would be a disappointment.
Okay. If other people. More accurately, when I said he has to be better than Akeem.
Or
to justify the hype.
To justify the hype. But that's what they said. They made it that way. I ran with it.
Exactly.
But. Nick, look, I'm cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. You're just playing optimistic about Caleb, and that's fine. I'm cautiously optimistic about it because I brought up earlier, I've seen too many sure things just fall flat on their face. And I get it. He's great in college. But the difference between college and pro is so big in so many ways that I can't sit here and say he's going to be anything close to Patrick Mahomes.
No, I didn't say he's going to be Patrick
but
Mahomes.
But you call him 2.0.
He is the closest player we have had to Mahomes stylistically. From build, from arm angle, from creativity, from all of that, he is the closest version that we have seen. And obviously in football, more so than any other sport, injury plays a huge part of it. So that's almost a sidebar. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an injury history,
right. So
that's good. I just think that the can't-miss guys actually we don't miss that much. You guys think Trevor might miss. I don't. Luck didn't miss. He stopped early.
Right.
Peyton didn't miss. Like, the can't – there's other number one picks, but the guys that – John Elway didn't miss. Like, the guys that people are like, can't miss generational true, universally accepted as the number one pick, those guys tend not to miss.
Better than Cam Newton.
Cam
was pretty good. If you missed today's show, it was solid. Solid B.
Solid?
Yeah, B minus?
B what? Plus.
You almost said minus.
Nick was phenomenal. Yeah. I did my thing.
Speaking of phenomenal, tomorrow, the Bud List. That's a great photo of you.
So much better.
Can we
than
use
the...
that one now than the Cowboy?
No. It's just a Bud List.
Metalstein, Mavs, Spurs, Luka with a Kevin Love-esque pass for what I'm calling a slam dunk because look at that. See? Hang on the rim a little bit. You don't just grab it and drop it in. That's called a layup. 18, 10, and 16 for Luka. Not enough for a medal.
Take as much time as you want.
Look at this one.
Because our final segment is really terrible today. Anthony Edwards, 38 and 8. Almost single-handedly beat the Nuggets. No Gobert, no Towns, obviously. And a great comeback at the end. Had a potential game-time shot. Miss Silver, Jalen Green, 42 and 10. Normally, we discount wins over the Wizards, but it was the Rockets as their sixth in a row. Only a minor discount. 41-9 is where this is.
Could they sneak in?
Joker, 35. They could sneak in. 35-16 for the Joker. This was an interesting game because he, from the very beginning of the game, was like, oh, I'm going to have to score.
Yeah.
No Gobert, no Towns. One of his season lows in assists. Instead of just killing them offensively, there's the podium, and I tried to vamp as long as possible to try to kill this topic.
Here we go. Jimmy G talked about why he chose the Rams after talking to Sean McVay. Take a listen.
There's a couple different options, but once the Rams came in, you know, started talking to Sean on the phone and really picking his brain, that was a cool moment. That was when it really started to click. It's just a bunch of those little things coming together. I think talking to Sean on the phone really sealed the deal, though.
Exactly right.
Bro, what does that mean?
Could have gone anywhere.
I mean, a lot of teams wanted him. Sean McVay, who's a great coach, great offensive mind, wanted him. I'm just saying,
I thought his body betrayed it.
It has.
Well, then why would Sean McVay
want him? And he's going to be the backup. Uh-huh. And he's happy. That's one thing about Jimmy G. He's fine being the backup, all right?
Yeah, likes it.
But I'm just saying, it just validates that I said, Jimmy G, not bad.
8-0 against McVay.
Pretty good.